If you would, take your Bibles and go with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 11. Matthew chapter number 11. We're working through as God leads this passage of Scripture. We look here and we'll begin our reading this morning in verse number 16. Matthew 11 and verse number 16. The Bible says, "But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, We have piped unto you and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Look with me in verse number 28. The Bible says, "Come unto me." You know what religion says? Do. Work. Jesus says, come. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Today's message is titled this, "Ye shall find rest." Ye shall find rest. Over and over in the Scripture, we find this theme. It's unintentional on my part, but recently I've preached a few messages regarding this word rest. And as we study through the Scriptures, the Bible makes it plain here twice in this very famous few verses of Scripture. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And rest is something that God gives. Great faith, folks, is not defined or exhibited in your willingness to do ridiculous or dumb things. Great faith is first and foremost exhibited and shown in the hearts and lives of God's children because of a restful spirit. Some people mistake great faith for a willingness to do great big things that may or may not be God's will. The bottom line is we all have the opportunity to exercise and exhibit great faith as we have a spirit of rest and peace that God and God alone can give. We live in a society in a day where there's great restlessness. We're wringing our hands. We're looking and searching and longing for something more, something greater, something that will give peace and contentment, satisfaction. And Jesus, speaking to a group of people, he concludes this discourse and this section of Scripture by saying very simply, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. May God help us to have homes that are restful. May God help us to have hearts that are restful as we rest and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ye shall find rest. First thing I want to bring to your attention this morning is this: Jesus' concerns for this generation. Now, in the subject and dealing with the same subject of rest and peace in our hearts and peace in our homes and peace in our lives, rest with God, there are some current concerns that Jesus exhibits and says as he's speaking to this group of people, preparing to say, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and have rest, I will give you rest." In preparation to say that, he looks at this group of people and he says, here's something I notice. Verse number 16, he says, whereunto shall I liken this generation? He looks at you, looks at this crowd, and he says, what kind of comparison can I make? What is this group like? What is this group compared to? He says, how can I make an example and show you an example of this generation? Whereunto shall I liken this generation? He says it is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you and ye have not lamented. This is not terribly complex. The picture that Jesus is saying as he looks at this group of people, he says, here's my concern for this generation. He says, you're like a bunch of children. By the way, if folks look at a group of adults and say, you're like a bunch of children, you're childish, it's probably not a very nice thing to say, but in Jesus' day, it was accurate, and I'm afraid in our generation it's accurate too, because here's what he said. He says, we've piped to you. We've played songs that are exciting and fun, like a wedding. We've piped to you, and you wouldn't rejoice. We don't want to rejoice. We don't want to pipe. We don't want to have fun. And he's like, okay, well, then we've mourned. We've sang lamenting songs to you, and we've said, okay, you're not happy. Well, let's play something sad like a funeral. But you won't mourn. He says, no matter what we try to do, you're just not happy. I'll just tell you something. I know that there's men in this building, and I know that there's men in this generation. No matter what they do, they're not satisfied. No matter what they experience, they're not satisfied. They're empty. They're undone. They're miserable. They're restless. Why? Jesus says, because we're childish. We're childish. It's a fact. We go from one exciting thing to another exciting thing in a yearning and longing to fulfill our hearts. Yet God has said, without any exciting things or experiences, without weddings, without funerals, and all of us men said, hallelujah, we can be glad to do away with those. Without any of those things, we can have peace in our hearts and rest in our souls. Jesus says, look, one problem I see is that you're childish. I had several parents report to me after camp yesterday. I ran into a number of you, and they said, we got home and our child was so tired from a week of camp, nothing would satisfy them. They were crying about this and crying about that and crying about this and crying about... You say, we're going to give you a cupcake, and they're crying. It's funny and it's true and it happens with children, but sadly, it happens with adults and it happens with men. We're childish. You can't have peace in your heart if you're never satisfied or you're looking for some plaything in order to make your life better or complete. It will never satisfy, it will never complete, and you have not found rest for your souls at this point because, just like Jesus said, we're childish. We go from one plaything to another. And we're childish. Look at the second thing that Jesus mentions. We're critical. We're critical. Well, Jesus, he doesn't spare any words. He just gets right down to the nitty-gritty, and here it is. He says in verse number 18, he says, for John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Jesus looks at this generation. He says, I'm likening you unto children, and you're never satisfied. He says, I'm also going to liken you unto and compare and show you what you've been doing. John the Baptist. He said, John the Baptist came, and he came with a leather girdle, and he came eating locust and wild honey, and he was a man's man. He was an outdoorsman. He was a minimalist at best. And folks looked at him. He said, this group of people, he's speaking to this generation, they looked at John the Baptist. They said, he's crazy. He's got a demon. He's messed up. What in the world would anybody do so? I mean, he doesn't have any nice clothes. He doesn't have any nice food. He doesn't fellowship with people. He's kind of hard. He's kind of an odd duck. They said, he's crazy. And Jesus said, and you've looked at me. He says, I come and I eat, I drink, I fellowship, I have a good time. I'm working, investing in people, and I'm opposite in that fashion to John the Baptist. And he says, look what you say about me. He says, you say of me, in verse number 19, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous, a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. He says, you guys, if it's one way you complain about that, if it's another way you complain about that, you're critical, a critical spirit. He's looking at this generation. He's trying to get to the point where he can help these folks have peace with God. He says, the first thing we're going to have to deal with is your childishness. You can't be satisfied with a toy. He says, the second thing we're going to have to deal with is your critical spirit. Complain about everything. How many of you ever met this person? You come up to them and you reach out your hand, you shake their hand, you say, how are you today? 15 minutes later, you wish you'd never ask. Critical, complaining, discontented. Now, there are times when things aren't right and things aren't going your way, and it's okay to say, look, this is how it is. But a critical spirit, it's something that is not pleasing to God, and it's something that's not an evidence of the indwelling Holy Spirit. If you find yourself on the half-empty side of everything every day, or at least most of the time, folks, I want you to know something. You have a heart problem. You have a spiritual problem. You need rest with Christ, rest with in your soul that only God can give. And Jesus looks at this group and he says, this generation, you're childish. He says, this generation, you're critical. And he continues and says, you're cold. He says, you're cold. Now, he was speaking to a group of Jews this day, a group of people who had come from cities where he'd done great and mighty works. And here's how Jesus addresses them, verse number 20. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. What's the Bible say? Jesus begins to upbraid them. He's scolding them. He's rebuking them. By the way, preaching is two-thirds negative. The Bible says that the preacher is to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. I don't know about you, but I've got to the place in my spiritual life where I'm thankful when the preacher takes just a minute and stomps my toes in the ground. Because I know I need it. I know I need to hear from the Lord, and I know I'm not always right. And your wife said, amen. And the husband said, amen. I know I'm not always right. I need to hear from heaven. And Jesus begins to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. What burdened him? He said, I've been in these cities. I've been in Chorazin, Bethsaida. I've been in Capernaum. And in these cities, I've done miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. And I've changed lives, and I've done all this. And Jesus says, I've done all these mighty works in these cities. He says, it breaks my heart. And in spite of such a bright light, they will not repent of their sin. In spite of such a bright light, they will not repent of their sin. He says, they repented not. And he says in verse 21, woe unto thee. Woe is a term of judgment. You hear this very little from the mouth of our Savior, because He came bringing hope and light, but He does not ever deny the fact that there is judgment coming, and without Him there will be judgment, eternal judgment, and condemnation and damnation, and a place called hell forever. He says, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes." Now he compares Chorazin, a place where he did mighty works, Bethsaida, a place where he did mighty works, Jewish places, people, the people of God. He compares them to Tyre and Sidon, wicked Gentile city. Sidon is the place where Jezebel came from. These places were known for their wickedness. He says, "I want to compare these cities of blessing that have seen all these mighty works to these cities of great wickedness." And he says, "I want you to know something. Well, I feel sorry for these cities of great blessing and great light, because it will be more tolerable for the wicked cities in the day of judgment than for the cities that have seen such great light and sinned against it." Now, why did Jesus bring this up at this point? He wants you to have peace in your heart. And as I preach to the Chilhowee Baptist Church this morning, folks, I'll have you know something. I am confident at this moment that you and I have been the recipients of more light than any of these light-bearing cities in the Bible right here. I'll tell you why. Why is Chilhowee Baptist Church more accountable to God than Chorazin and Bethsaida? Why is Chilhowee Baptist Church more accountable to God than Capernaum? I'll tell you. A Savior who went to the cross and gave His life for our sins, that was buried in a borrowed tomb, that 3 days later rose victoriously from the grave. They didn't have that when He was writing and telling them this story, but we do. I'll tell you something else. A Bible, a complete, inerrant, infallible book that has God, that is God's Word, and tells us everything God needs us to know. It's the living Word of God. We have it in its complete form, and they did not. You'll find this hard to believe. But in Capernaum, as Jesus was sitting here talking about Capernaum, in Capernaum, they couldn't open their laptop and go to www.chilhoweebaptistchurch.com and find today's podcast where the gospel's preached. They couldn't open their laptops and go and hear the gospel preached all over the world from the comfort of their home. They couldn't open their smartphone. They couldn't turn the radio on in their car and listen to godly programming on Christian radio stations. They couldn't do that, but guess what? We can. Folks, I'll have you know something. You and I are more accountable and have more light than the very people that Jesus was saying, "Woe unto you for not repenting of your sin," and said, "It's better for Sodom, it's better for these wicked cities, Tyre and Sidon, than it is for you." Jesus' concerns about this generation was that their heart was cold. Their heart was cold. I watch these boys sing, and I'll just tell you, my heart melts down into my shoes. But it's not because I'm a big crybaby. It's because I realize the gravity of what was standing here singing. And I realize what can be done through the lives of young men and young women, and through the ministry of a church like ours, and homes where God is understood and Jesus is taught, and the light that we have is so bright. And I beg of you, men and women, fathers and mothers and grandparents, I beg of you, do not shade the light. Do not forget how bright Jesus is. Do not forget that real people are going to die and go to hell forever if the gospel's not taken to the ends of the earth. Don't forget it. And every moment of your day, live for eternity. And you live for eternity through those children. You live for eternity through the lives of other people. There's only two things on this earth that I have, that I possess, that I can take to heaven with me. And I call them my sons. the only eternal possession we have. And may God put it in our heart and help us to remember how bright our light is. How bright is your light? You see, we have a lot of folks. I had someone tell me this week, and it was out of the mouth of a babe. So it was very profound. The boy told me, he said, "Pastor," he said, "I've been saved." He said, "But I sure don't let many people know about it." And I wonder how many of you are here today and you say, "I'm saved, but I sure am not doing much with my life to prove the fact that I am a child of God, saved for eternity, and I have a purpose." I'll just have you know something. If you make your purpose a childish toy, if you make your purpose a critical spirit or higher criticism, I'm smarter than that. If you make those your purpose, you have a cold heart and you're sinning against great light. And folks, we should every moment of every day have a fire burning in our souls that says, "I must live for Jesus because Jesus is what really matters." And purpose, as we follow Christ, is what gives us hope and gives us peace and gives us a brightness for the future. You see, you reject the light, guess what happens? You live in darkness. You identify the light and welcome the light. Guess what? You live in the brightness of the glory of God. Oh, what a joy it is to live in peace. Have you ever noticed something? You turn over a log, a little rotten log, turn it over, and all those little critters go. You just let the light shine where folks are used to darkness, and it makes folks uncomfortable. And we're just like little bugs. I want to change away from the little dark bug to the little bug that's constantly going towards the light. And good thing about being a Christian is you can go towards the light all you want and you'll never get zapped. You continue to go through the light. You go to the light and Jesus will warm you. Jesus will heal you. Jesus will help you. Jesus will give you peace. Ye shall have peace unto your souls. See, number one, Jesus has concerns for this generation. Number two, Jesus' condition for Christian rest. Now, there's a condition. Now, here's the condition. Here's how you can have rest. And you must come this way. It's very important. The Bible says in verse number 25, "At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes." What's the Bible say here? Jesus says, I thank that he begins to pray. He's burdened. He says, I thank you, Lord, that the truth of the gospel, the peace that can only come from heaven, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Now, does the Bible teach us right here that you can't be wise or prudent and be a Christian? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Now, if you were to see wise, there were wise men all through the Scriptures. Wise. The Apostle Paul was wise and intelligent. Extremely intelligent. But it wasn't until he humbled himself like a babe that God really began to use his life for something that mattered for eternity. David, King David, he's a man among men. Every time David began to do things in his own strength, in his own wisdom, his own prudence, guess what happened? It would bite him every time. But when he humbled himself, became obedient to the Lord, put his trust in God, God blessed and flourished the things that he did. We could do this example thing all day long. Because the Bible makes it very clear. God blesses the humble. He gives grace to the humble. And pride always comes before a fall. How can I have peace with God? How can I have rest in my soul? Well, the Bible says you don't come wise and prudent. Man, I've really done well this week, and I've really done things just right. I've had not had any bad thoughts. I've done everything just right. If I had to wait on a week, I didn't have any bad thoughts and did everything right in order to have peace with God, I'll never have peace with God. And I'll just let you know something, it's not exclusive to me. You're the same way. But that's what Jesus says. You don't have to be like wise and prudent and perfect. You don't have to get everything in order that you might come to faith in Christ. You see, you can't get things in order without Christ. And Jesus goes on and says this to these saints very simply. He says in verse number 27, he says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Now, that's a long way of saying this. We need to get right with God the Father. And the way to get right with God the Father is to know and get right with God the Son. And when we know God the Son, then everything we need to know about God the Father is right there in the Son. Rest in Jesus. You need Jesus. But you don't need Jesus like a cherry on top of your good works. You need Jesus as the core and the foundation and the only hope that you have. And you need to come to Jesus as a babe. As a babe. You know, there's nothing on earth weaker than a baby human. The maggots in the bottom of your trash can, they will survive. You leave a baby to itself, it can't. It can't. We just had three puppies. Actually, the way that works is, they're actually Brooke and Derek's puppies because my dog chose to have them under their porch. And so wherever those puppies are born, they're citizens of that land, you know? And so I really hope you all are able to find a good home for those puppies. Yeah, they're little, they're small. But you know what? A dumb old dog can raise them and keep them healthy. God put something amazing inside them. I don't want to discredit that. But the old dog can take care of the little puppies, and they'll survive in the dirt under Brooke and Derek's porch. But a baby human, it can't survive in those conditions. Why? Because they're weak. They're the weakest of the weak. A two-year-old dog is an adult. A two-year-old child, you're constantly worried they're going to run out in the road. Babes, they're weak, are they not? Jesus says, just like a babe, you must come to Christ. Nothing to offer, nothing of your own, unable to sustain even life on your own without Jesus. And if you ever get to the place where you realize that I am nothing without Christ, I'm like a babe, I'm hopeless, I'm undone, I'm going to fail, I'm going to suffer the penalty of death and hell forever. If you come to the place where you realize I'm a babe, that's the moment that Jesus wants you to confess your sins and trust in Him and Him alone for your soul salvation. He wants you just to fall into His arms because that's the only hope you have. You can try to reform yourself and you will never succeed. But if you will come as a babe, a weak, the weakest of the weak, a babe, and fall into the arms of a loving Savior and trust in Christ and Christ alone for your salvation, guess what you get? Rest in your souls. There's nothing you can do to pay for your own sin, but Jesus Christ paid it for you. Jesus' condition for Christian rest is that you come as a babe. Finally, number three, Jesus' call to come. The Bible says in verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What's he say in verse number 28? Come. Religion says do. Your flesh. Now, it's just how you're wired up in your dirty, rotten flesh. You think somehow you have to do good in order to please God. Your do good is never good enough, and it will not please God. It doesn't say, do unto me, and I will give you rest. It doesn't say, give unto me, and I'll give you rest. It says, come. Man, I have a mental picture of this come. There have been a few times when I desperately needed something from someone who had it and I didn't. And all I could do was just come. I remember as a child standing many times just waiting on somebody that could help me. I just had to come to them and just sit there and wait. And they'd minister to my need and help me. It was just a come. It wasn't a work. It was just, here I am. I don't know what to do. Jesus says, come unto me. That word come is not a come. It's actually a word that has great emphasis. If we were to be able to listen to the word as Jesus said it, he would have painted this picture that you're childish. This generation is childish. He would have painted this picture that this generation is critical. He would have painted the picture that this generation was cold. He would have painted a picture that you need to humble yourselves, and people in the congregation were no doubt beginning to churn in their soul saying, I'm desperate and I'm undone. I need this Jesus. I need this rest because I can't have it. And at that moment when they felt that they needed something so bad, Jesus said, come, please, come. It's like you're going out into the river to your demise and you're standing at the bank. Come, right here, reach, here I am, come. Jesus cried to his people. He said, come unto me. All ye that, like you say, you're wringing your hands, you're labored, you're burdened down. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. He says, I will give you for our labor. He says, I will give you rest for our heavy laden, our heavy burden. I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you. Oh, the yoke of Christ. Guess what? It fits perfect. It fits perfect. The work that God has called you to do, it fits you just right. Are you noticing that? Oh, man, this is rough. Life is awful. This is terrible. Oh, man, it hurts. The work, it's miserable. That's not the yoke Jesus gave you. Is the yoke sometimes heavy? It can be heavy. It can be laborious, but it's not miserable. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. I love the fact that Jesus is meek and lowly in heart. He's patient with us. You've added things to your yoke that you shouldn't. You've let a critical spirit creep in, and you've allowed the darkness of this world to cover the light of God and the light that you've been given. I want you to know something. Jesus is lowly and meek, and he's faithful to forgive. But he always is saying, hey, come. Come unto me. Come unto me. He says, I will give you rest. Folks, if you're looking for me to give you rest, or yourself to give you rest, or something or some person or some experience to give you rest, I'll just go ahead and fill you in. You ain't gonna find it. Because Jesus says, I will give you rest. I'm so thankful that we can have rest. We can only have it one way. By putting our faith and trust, childlike faith, in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who paid the price for our sins. I want you to hear something really simple. God loves you. I'm so thankful God loves me. Amen. He loves you so much. He said it like this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God loves you. All men are sinners. There's never been a man that ever breathed other than Christ who was not a sinner. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Our sin must be paid for. How do you pay for sin? Well, there's two ways. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. You can pay for your sin eternally in hell, separated from God. Or you can accept the gift that Jesus gave. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, sin must be paid for. Jesus Christ paid for your sins. God commendeth, he showed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You must personally pray, you, and receive Jesus Christ by faith as your Savior. The Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, if you're here today, you'll not ever make yourself have peace any other way than humbling yourself as a babe before Christ and asking Jesus to come into your heart and forgive your sins, committing your life and your eternity to Christ and Christ alone. Let's pray.